Please turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 39. As we read this passage, one thing that you ought to be struck with is some of the parallels, particularly as Mary magnifies the Lord with Old Testament passages that you're familiar with. And if you want to do some study of this on your own, you can certainly go and read the Hannah's rejoicing in the Lord at the beginning of the book of 1 Samuel, when the Lord allows her to conceive and bring forth Samuel. I was struck. Martin must have been studying ahead tonight, because Psalm 98, selection B, or Psalm 98 has great parallels with what we'll see Mary saying here. And it's clear that while Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit and praising God, that she also is reflecting Old Testament scriptures, and we could certainly demonstrate that through a number of different readings and a number of different passages through the Old Testament. Here, God's Word, Luke 1, 39 through 56. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit is rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Well, when we come to these passages in the Gospels that deal with Mary in particular, there's really two dangers. There's, of course, the danger that we see in certain theological circles of overemphasizing, of over-glorifying Mary. At the same time, I think in our circles, sometimes the tendency is to ignore some of the clear statements of Scripture about just how blessed Mary was to have the privilege of doing what God called her to do. And certainly Elizabeth and her proclamation from as inspired by the Holy Spirit recognizes this, and Mary herself realizes her pivotal place in redemption history. God has called her to bring forth his son into the world, and that in doing so, that her womb is really a part of God's great plan of salvation. And so we need to maintain a right view of Mary. We might say that we want to have a biblical view of who this woman was, and not just a reactionary view of one extreme or the other. And as this passage begins, one of the things that we need to recognize is that Mary is in a difficult position. It's easy to read the verse 38 where Mary expresses her desire, her willingness, of course, to be used by the Lord, that I am your servant, God. Let it happen to me what exactly as you've said. And to read that and say Mary had perfect faith at this point in her experience and was left with no questions, no doubts whatsoever. But Mary, at this point in her life, finds herself in quite an unusual predicament. Quite unusual as a virgin who's been told that she is going to be or is pregnant through the mouth of Gabriel. And she's in a pretty uncomfortable situation, of course, as well. She has a fiancé who's probably not going to understand what is going on. She has parents who probably are not going to believe her story. They're going to probably be inclined to look for a different explanation for her pregnancy than just, I was visited with by an angel who told me that the Holy Spirit will impregnate me. And so she's in a bit of a quandary in that way. And no doubt there were questions and a struggle within her regarding her faith and regarding belief in God. And that's not to say that she didn't believe. That's just to say that just as you and I struggle with faith, even believing, for instance, in the great love of Christ, in the sacrifice of Christ, in the resurrection of Christ, we might go find ourselves wrestling with those things. And even as God gives grace, of course, we do believe and trust in Him. So it doesn't mean that we have no faith to find ourselves struggling and questioning. Well, and Mary is in a similar place if she receives this word from Gabriel, and so she finds herself in a difficult position. And that's important for us to reflect on, because some of you find yourselves at this point in your life in difficult positions, in places where God has called you to certain things, put you in certain situations that you would rather not be in. You would rather have a different calling, a different situation that God had placed you in. And so therefore, there are things that we can learn from Mary's response to her difficulties and to her struggle with faith. And what we see is that Mary, in her difficulty, does not just stay home in a little ball, but that Mary seeks solutions. And she's told to do that by the angel, and Mary goes forth seeking encouragement. And what we're going to see is that that encouragement that she receives results in her praising the Lord and in her going forward in obedience to the word of the Lord. Gabriel had brought his announcement, and Mary is confronted, of course, with these internal struggles. And how is it that she will deal with these difficulties in her life? Well, what we find is that Mary immediately responds to the word of the angel by doing the one thing, really, that he tells her that she can do. And that is, she goes with haste to visit Elizabeth. Cousin Elizabeth, verse 36, Gabriel announced that Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. Mary, when Gabriel comes, Mary did not ask for a sign. But the angel gives her a sign from God. A sign that God is powerful and able to do that which is impossible. And so Mary responds to that sign by immediately, with haste, going down to see if it is so. It would be interesting to know how this went. What did Mary say to her parents? What did she say to Joseph? I'm inclined to think that she probably went to her parents and said, I've heard that Elizabeth, cousin Elizabeth, is expecting. This is great news. Why don't I go down and help her for a few months and just see if I can be of assistance?" And her parents were willing for her to do this. And then she went and talked to Joseph and said, "You know, I'm going to go out of town for a little while. And I'll be back. Don't worry. I'll come back to town in plenty of time. No need to worry." And so she, with haste, we find, goes down to visit with Elizabeth. Now, some people, some commentators have argued that Mary's reason to go and visit Elizabeth is not that of seeking encouragement, not that of having the sign from the Lord confirmed to her by seeing that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. Instead, they would argue that Mary went, as was the custom in our own country, about, I don't know, maybe 40 years ago or maybe less than that, that if a young girl got pregnant, that she was sent away to live with a relative in order to hide the pregnancy. But I think that's not a plausible view, given the passage in front of us. And you know why? Because verse 56 tells us what about Mary? At the end of 3 months, Mary comes back. And we know that Mary, and in the sequence here, right, Elizabeth 6 months ahead, Mary comes back as Elizabeth's pregnancy is ending. So the furthest along that Mary is in her pregnancy by verse 56 is 3 months along. Now, in our congregation, we have first-time mothers who get pregnant, and we have mothers who are who have had previous pregnancies who get pregnant. But if you're at all observant, one of the things that you notice is that for the first-time mothers, they can hide their pregnancies a little bit longer than some of the second and third and fifth and so forth times mothers. Isn't that correct? Well, especially in a day and age of baggy clothing, Mary could have, probably, there would have been no clue to anyone around her by month three that Mary is expecting a baby. So Mary actually is with Elizabeth not for the months where she would be trying to hide her pregnancy. She's with Mary for the months when the pregnancy naturally would have been hidden. And so therefore, her reason to go to visit Elizabeth is not to hide the pregnancy. That does not seem plausible given our text. So she goes down to Elizabeth seeking encouragement and seeking a reminder and a confirmation of the power of God, of the working of God. And so notice right off here how Mary is an example to us. Mary, when confronted with difficulty, could have hunkered down and said, "Well, I'm just going to hide myself away in my room. I'm going to pout. I'm going to look for someone who will give me all sorts of sympathy, who will remind me how difficult of a God we serve and how God hasn't been kind to me." That's not what Mary does. Mary goes quickly to seek encouragement and confirmation in her faith. And she finds it with Elizabeth, as Elizabeth reminds her of the power of God and of the blessing that God has given to Mary. And so right off, one of the lessons that we get from the life of Mary and from where she is a great example to us is that when you are confronted with difficulties in your life, when you're confronted with the temptation to not believe, to be overwhelmed by your circumstances, seek out encouragement. Seek out other people, other sources who will encourage you in serving the Lord in the way that He has called you to serve Him. Well, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and Elizabeth does exactly what is needed. We find Elizabeth providing the encouragement that Mary needs. And she does this, of course, under the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, the Holy Spirit fills her And Elizabeth leads Mary, as Elizabeth is in essence prophesying, right, to Mary, and reminding her of the great blessings of God on Mary, and by extension on Elizabeth as well. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So you are blessed, Mary, of all women. And notice that we aren't told the exact sequence of events, but one of the ways in which it would appear as you read the text that God confirmed his word to Mary is that before Mary even expresses to Elizabeth this visit from Gabriel, that Elizabeth already knows and rejoices along with Mary in declaring how much God's blessing is on her in allowing this to take place. So she rejoices in God's work in Mary's body. You're blessed. Are you among women? Blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So she, Elizabeth, is just marveling and rejoicing in the fact that I'm just blessed, Mary, to even know you, to even be related to you, to even have contact with you. That's a blessing from God on me. And she goes on, and as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. The theologian John Adams pointed out at this point that this may well have been, this is our John Adams, by the way, and this is a unique contribution in my reading on this text. He pointed out that this may well be the first confirmation that Mary had that she was pregnant. If she's only a week or two along, maybe not even, right, at this point in time, there's no physical evidence that she is pregnant. And so the leaping of John the Baptist becomes, in that sense, a herald to the coming of Christ in a unique way, even before he can speak. And God then uses Elizabeth as a confirmation. And I think it's a good insight that a doctor would have into the scriptures that maybe others of us might overlook. But I think there's good reason to read the text and to think that that might be exactly the case. That other than Gabriel's word to her, and at which time, you know, following Gabriel leaving the scene, Mary becomes pregnant, and that this would have been, you know, the baby's not kicking in the first week. The baby's at least not in a way that Mary can feel. And so this becomes the confirmation that God's power did indeed come on her and that she is expecting a baby. And so Elizabeth is a word of encouragement to her. And Elizabeth concludes by encouraging Mary in believing. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Elizabeth is able to say, look at me. That's a confirmation to you that God's at work. Look, listen to the words of the Holy Spirit. That's a confirmation that God is at work. And Mary, the things that God has promised to you will come true in your life and in your body. And so, in a similar way, brothers and sisters, just as we can learn from Mary to seek encouragement, we need to learn from Elizabeth that in the opportunities that we have to provide encouragement, that we need to provide encouragement to people that focuses on all that God has done for people and the blessings that God has given them in their situation. We need to not be the kind of counselors to one another who only commiserate and say, wow, your life is so terrible and awful. We need to be the type of encouragers to each other that lead one another in saying, wow, the Lord has done great things for you. You ought to rejoice in Him and you ought to believe His promises and plow forward in obedience. And that's the example of Elizabeth. And one of the ways that we know that Elizabeth's counsel here and encouragement is good encouragement is because it comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? So Elizabeth is divinely appointed to be an encourager to Mary. And we know that her counsel was God-honoring because we see the results in the life of Mary. And we find Mary praising God and Mary's tongue being loosed to magnify the Lord. And Mary does just that. Mary, once Mary gets a turn to talk, she, her mouth just spills forth with the praise of God. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit is rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. Mary recognizes God's mercy on her. And once again, we find, just as she said in verse 38, the maidservant of the Lord, that Mary recognizes her God's grace in dealing with her. That I'm not deserving. God doesn't have to be kind to me. God doesn't have to do great things for me. But God has regarded my low state and done something for me that's going to cause people for generation upon generation to look back and say, that lady was blessed. The Lord has done this for me and He's had regard on me. And so Mary's response here is a response of recognizing the blessing of being used by God. Yes, my circumstances may be difficult. Yes, it may not be the easiest calling that God could have placed on me, but I am blessed to have this calling from the Lord. And God, and she praises God for His power at work in her life. Verse 49, He is mighty, has done great things for me. And she rejoices in the name of God. Holy is His name. And so Mary praises God as she reflects on what the Lord has done for her. But her praise of God here doesn't just stop by recognizing it's what God has done and its significance for her alone. She also rejoices, doesn't she, because of what the Lord has done for others as well. And Mary sees that the story, that her story, if you will, her biography goes beyond herself to now impacting the peoples of the world as well. That God has shown mercy on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He's shown strength with His arm. God and what He has done for me is blessing the lowly. He's raising up the poor. He's feeding the hungry. He's providing salvation for those who were lost, even as He brings down the proud and the lofty and destroys them. And so she sees that there's a cosmic, if you will, dimension to this pregnancy. This pregnancy is not about me and my baby. This is about me, my baby, and the world that God is blessing through this baby. And he goes on, and she goes on, rather than at the end to recognize that God is blessing the whole world and verse 54 specifically, that God is keeping His covenant promises. That God is doing what He promised He would do even back in the Garden of Eden as He spoke to our fathers and then specifically as He spoke to the nation of Israel, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And so Mary rejoices and seeing what God has done. And she praises His name. And she sees that God is faithful. That God keeps His promises from generation to generation. And He will keep His promises to me as well. And this is exactly it. So the counsel that Mary receives from Elizabeth is exactly what Mary needed to hear. And Mary's response to that is to worship the Lord. And isn't this the goal of good counseling? I mean, if our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, then as we have opportunity to encourage one another, to listen to one another, to talk together, shouldn't our goal be to lead one another to a point of praising God, to seeing God's hand at work in our circumstances, to see God's hand at work in His faithfulness and the things that He is doing for us? And so we need to make it our aim to cause others to praise God and to look to Him and even to rest in Him. How do we know that Elizabeth's counsel was good? We know it was good because it led to Mary praising and rejoicing in God. We also know it was good because it led and furthered Mary along the road of obedience. Recognize, none of this is to say that Mary wouldn't have praised God anyway, or that Mary wouldn't have, that she had started to have rebellion in her heart. Not at all. But God uses Elizabeth to further and to be a blessing to Mary in the obedience that God had called her to. And so we see that Elizabeth does encourage her in rejoicing in God and also in obeying God. What we find is that Mary, verse 56, remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Mary was there. She helped out Elizabeth. They worshiped God together. They fellowshiped together. They delighted in the promises and in the power of God together. But Mary didn't then evade her responsibilities. She didn't evade her calling. Instead, she returned home to do what God had called her to do. The book of Luke doesn't tell us exactly when and how, for instance, Joseph found out. But it seems very reasonable if you lay this account next to the account in Matthew that Joseph would have found out sometime after Mary returned from this visit. And presumably that's also when her parents would have found out about this as well. And Mary returns home not hiding what the Lord has done, not hiding what God has called her to, but she was able to return home obeying God, strengthened in the promises of God, able to serve the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we've seen that Elizabeth helped Mary to be able to praise God more fully. In a very similar way, Elizabeth, as she points out God's power and leads Mary to reflect on that, also causes us to think about the fact that we need to remind one another of God's power at work in our circumstances. That in seeing God's power at work, if we see God at work in our lives, that will give us the strength and the ability to obey, to face even difficult circumstances that He has put us in. So what we have here, beyond just an excellent example of what it means to trust God, an excellent example of what it means to praise God, to delight in God, two women who have the privilege of, you might argue, having the first Christian New Testament worship service, if you will, as they together are able to reflect on what it means that actually the promises that have been made are now coming to pass. Beyond all that, what we have here is an example of how to deal with difficult circumstances and how to help others deal with difficult circumstances. And if you're in difficult circumstances, recognize here that there are two evaluators of counsel that we need to bring to the table as we get counsel in difficulties. Does this counsel lead me to praising God? And whether you're talking about counsel from another person, whether you're talking about counsel from a book or some other source that you would be getting counsel from, does this lead me to praise God in my circumstances? Or does it lead me to despair and to doubt God in my circumstances, to doubt the goodness of God, to doubt the power of God? So number one, we want to evaluate counsel that we would receive based on, does it lead me to praise God? Secondly, does this counsel lead me to obeying God, or does it further me in digging in and not wanting to do what God has called me to do? So, does counsel cause me to praise God, and does it cause me to obey God? Furthermore, we need to apply these same evaluations to the counsel and encouragement that we give to other people. Does this lead to this person praising God, and does it lead to them being able to go forward in obedience to God? Just one example of this is, I was really struck by this in thinking about visiting with Gene. When I go to visit with Gene anymore, I just go for 15 minutes or so. But one of the things that Gene needs is a reminder to praise the Lord. Her circumstances are not happy, and it's a tough time for her to trust the Lord. And so one of the questions that I'm now asking myself as I leave the room is, did I leave Gene in a better position to praise the Lord and to trust Him? And then secondly, did I leave her with something that gives her a foundation for going forward in obedience to God in the circumstances that He's placed her with? Now, in one sense, that's a pretty easy circumstance, but we can apply this standard in our encouragement of one another as we interact with one another all the time. Ultimately, what we find here for Mary and for Elizabeth, and particularly as we reflect on Mary, is that as Mary serves the Lord, as Mary seeks to honor Christ with her life and with her calling, God provides the encouragement for her to do what is right. And brothers and sisters, as you seek to serve the Lord, even in difficult circumstances, even in circumstances that you would not create for yourself, you need to trust God to provide you with the encouragement to do what is right. And you need to trust Him to do that, and also to seek to find that encouragement. That where you're doubting, where you're struggling to do what is right, to seek out actively that encouragement. And what we find is that God is faithful, and that God will send the Holy Spirit. That God will send the Holy Spirit to encourage those who are serving Him, and that He will bring encouragement to them, so that we might be able to praise Him in all circumstances. That is what the Lord did for Mary. The Lord provided her with encouragement so that she could praise Him and obey Him, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And by faith, we know that as we serve Jesus Christ, that He will do the same for us, that He will provide encouragement for you, so that you might praise Him and obey Him, even in difficult circumstances. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the tremendous faith of Elizabeth and of Mary. We thank You for the way in which You use them as a means of grace in one another's lives to give them the strength and the power to obey, to encourage them in praising You and seeing Your blessing in them. And Lord, we thank You that You are willing to do that for Mary, especially as she served You in this way. Lord, we pray that You would do the same thing for us. Lord, that as we seek to serve and honor You with our lives, not in the same way that Mary did, but Lord, in other ways that You've called us to, we pray that You would bring encouragements into our lives, that we might praise Your name and rejoice in what You have called us to, and then that we might be able to go forward with obedience, seeing what You have done for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.